Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for hanging around with us this morning. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. Gary Moore is our guest. Gary, in a former life, was Senior Vice President of Investments with Payne Webber. That was before he started his own company, which is Gary Moore & Company, Counsel to Ethical and Religious Investors. He's the author of an outstanding book that's become one of my favorites, Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton. And he's our friend. Gary, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Any resolutions that you're going to break this year, Jim?
Oh, I've made dozens and dozens of resolutions. as my audience knows about, I've been sharing my resolutions with them. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it over the last several weeks, and I've got a few more to go. But, yeah, I've made a few resolutions, and I'm keeping a few of them.
You are keeping a few of them.
I'm not saying that's the
important part, Jim.
Well, and the ones I haven't kept, I'm working my way towards those. Well, I just feel like if I write them down and I focus on them enough, maybe just through osmosis it'll happen.
Well, who knows?
Well, you know what? One thing for sure, if you don't write it down and if you don't focus on it, they won't happen. You know that.
Yeah, stranger things have happened.
Gary, I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the things that the president said first last night in the State of the Union speech.
Okay.
And you know, he talked about tax reform. Let's get that on the table. The tax reform issues. He said let's get the tax reform going. All the things that they've already approved. He reiterated again. Let's get those made immediately. Let's go ahead and get those out year provisions put into the, you know, into this year, make them retroactive to January 1st. Let's eliminate the marriage tax penalty, increase the child care credit, eliminate double taxation of dividends, and show some discipline on the economy, on spending by Congress, I should say, and privatize Social Security. I mean, all those things that it seems to me that the stock market would like. But now he also said, on the other side of that coin, he also said Saddam's regime is evil, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, he basically went after Saddam again. So what's the stock market? How's the stock market going to weigh his fiscal policies, which I would think they would like, and his war talk?
Well, most of that is what we call stimulative, Jim. In the short run, maybe you've heard the old saying that in the short run, even a train wreck is stimulative because you have to go out and repair the track and repair the engine, but in the long run, it diverts resources from more productive uses. Mm-hmm. But in the short run, a lot of people do not understand that wars are stimulative. Visualize the troops that are in the Middle East right now as sort of a police force.
Mm-hmm.
They're sort of there to police the world, and they have jobs is the important part. At mm-hmm. a time when the economy, business, is not creating as many jobs, we have lots of troops in the Middle East who have jobs doing that. Now, what Wall Street worries about, of course, is who's going to pay for it. And there's several ways. There's four ways that it can be paid for. The first is taxes, which you heard President Bush say he was not going to do. In fact, he's going the other direction.
Right.
So that's not going to pay for it. The second is to borrow the money, as we did during the buildup to defeat, win the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
And in the short run, governments don't tend to do that if it's just going to be a short war. In the long war, yes, but not in a short war. And the third way is you can have what they call Operation Tin Cup during Desert Storm, for example. While the Pentagon was conducting the war over to Treasury Department, I literally think they called it Operation Tin Cup. They were going around the Middle East telling Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and so on, pay our police force.
Right.
We're protecting your oil fields. So that war didn't cost us much, and yet all that money came in the United States and stimulated our economy out of recession.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fourth measure is to what we call monetize it. I mean, the government does have the ability just to print checks, send to mm-hmm. the troops, And in essence, they send the money back home, stimulates the economy. And that's what Wall Street's worried about right now. That looks like the most probable option. That's why the
They're worried about step four.
Yeah, they're worried about step four. You may have noticed lately it appears that oil, the euro, and gold is rising in price.
Right.
In reality, when all three of those are going up, it means they're not really going up. What's really happening is the dollar is going down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because Wall Street's anticipating and the world is anticipating that we're going to print this money. So, in essence, somebody said last night, in fact, I think it was you a minute ago, who said that it should be good for the stock market because it's going to be stimulative. Mm-hmm. It'll be bad for the bond market because they think we're going to print more of these dollars and have
right.
higher inflation.
Well, and that's the only – printing dollars is one of the few tools that the Fed has left in their monetary kickback. Stand by, Gary. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Should have told you by now. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. The small business advocate Gary Moore is our guest. He's the author of Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton. And folks, this book is still available wherever books are sold, and I still recommend it to you. And Gary's got a new book coming out. We're not going to tell you. We're just going to tease you a little bit with it right now. But there's another one, and it's coming out in the summer, and you're going to launch it on the show, right, Gary?
That's exactly right, Jim.
And so we're looking forward to that. But we'll tell you, as the time gets closer, we'll tell you a little bit more about it. But just stand by for a new book from Gary Moore. By the way, folks, let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Hamilton Beasley will be joining us, along with Rich Gaylor, and I'll tell you a little bit more about them a little bit later on. Gary, we were talking about what the president said and what the markets are going to do with that information, and you know, your explanation of the four ways of financing the war were the best I've ever heard. Excellent job on that, and it makes a lot of sense. And you know, even before I heard anybody talking about how to finance the war, in the last month or two, I've been hearing more and more people say, more and more smart people who know about these things, like you, say that one of the things the Fed may have to do in order to get the economy going is print money, because they've run out of ammunition on the interest rate side.
Mm-hmm.
They basically, you know, not much else they can do there.
Right.
And they just got no room left. It's, you know, with the Fed funds rate down to 1.25%.
Right.
And so the only thing they can do from a monetary standpoint is print more money.
That's correct. It's called pushing on a string, Jim.
Do you see that happening?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You think that is going to happen?
Yeah.
Or is it happening?
Well, it has happened, and for the last 20 years, and now since we started with a 21% prime. Interest rates just cost money, and if you want to sell more of anything, you lower the price of it. And so by lowering interest rates, what we call the discount rate, that the Fed gives money to the banks, they mm-hmm. can charge a lower interest rate to business people. And every time they lowered it, it encouraged some business person to go out and do something with it or buy mm-hmm. a home or whatever, which stimulates the economy. When interest rates get so low, though, and we go into a recession, I don't care how low interest rates go. If I said to you today, Jim, I'm going to make an interest-free loan to you, and you're going to have to go out and put it in the stock market, and next year you're going to have lost 20%, you don't take the money.
That's right.
So it becomes pushing on a string. No matter what the Fed does, business people won't take it, which is, again, why the war is so important. Those troops in the Middle East are not going to say to the Fed, no, we just assume you keep your money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the war is one way for the government to get money into our economy with contractors and troops and so on, that if it can't be printed by the Fed and go out through the business community, then it can be printed by the Fed and go out through the defense community.
Well, you're almost sounding a little bit like this war is intentional.
No, I don't think so.
I know you don't mean that, but it almost sounds like that, though.
No, but I do think that there are people in Washington who, and I think it's, I look at these things from a moral perspective, Jim. That's my job. It's mm-hmm. not economics. It's not politics. Let's look at it from a morality standpoint. I do not know. I have not made up my mind right now whether Saddam Hussein truly is evil or not. I mean, there's no question that he's a very bad guy. Whether he's evil or not is another question.
What's the difference?
Well, you get into judgments, and I'm loath to make those judgments as a Christian, Jim. I have to believe who's good and who's evil up to some higher power, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I try not to get into that. That's politics, and that's all well and good for the politicians, but as a moral person, I try to be careful with that. Solzhenitsyn told us that the line between good and evil does not lie between nations or political parties, but through the heart of every human being, and I think that's one thing you want to keep in mind. There are good people in Iraq who are going to suffer if we
absolutely.
Do start going.
I've met some of them.
That's absolutely correct. And so... But if he is a truly bad guy and the world's going to be a better place, maybe it is a moral use of our troops to play policemen in that area to protect our interests. Yes, there's nothing wrong with legitimate self-interest. But if it's going to make the Middle East a more stable place and particularly make Iraq a better place for the Iraqi people, then I believe we almost have a moral obligation to go there. Now, if one of the side benefits is that it happens to be good for our economy, for our troops to be paid for doing good, then I don't see a particular problem with
well,
it.
Well, the president basically said what you just said this way last night.
He did?
He said the U.S. is called to protect the world from chaos. He was saying, in my opinion, he was saying that the United States finds itself in a unique position in the world, in the history of mankind, and it's we find ourselves in a position of having to step up to this duty.
Well, see, I agree with him. I'm a globalist.
I do too.
I'm not a nationalist like a Pat Buchanan, for example, would dispute that. He says
right.
He would say our job is
he's
to take care of the United States, exactly. But I'm a globalist in the mold of Sir John Templeton and so on. And I believe we do need to exercise moral leadership around the world, Jim, and that's part of what we're called to do. But
well,
in some ways,
we're the only country that can do that now.
Well, I wouldn't say we're the only country.
We're the only one that can do it on the scale that we can do it.
Well, on the scale,
and sometimes, Gary, you got to have scale. Sometimes, you know, a little bit.
No question.
You know, and so when that's required, we are the only country. They can do that. And that's the reason why I've been saying for a number of weeks now that President Bush finds himself in a role, whether we like it or not, whether you like him, Bush or not, he finds himself in a role that, in my opinion, is unparalleled, unlike any other role any other human has found themselves in the history of mankind. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back with Gary Moore. Back at 7 till. Gary Moore is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. I'm your host. Gary's the author of Spiritual Investments. Gary, you want to give us your website, please?
Actually, we're revamping it, Jim.
Okay.
Just soon, not right now. It'll be
all
announced
right.
This week.
Okay, but we'll get that out next time?
Absolutely.
Now, the book Spiritual Investments is still available wherever books are sold.
Well, I'm not sure. Probably at Amazon right now is your best shot.
Okay, all right. But they can order it, though. I mean, if they get to the bookstore and they want it, they can order it for you. So check that out. And that's by Gary Moore, M-O-O-R-E. Gary, the stock market, you know, I don't know if you remember or not, but in 2002, I predicted that the stock market would close lower than it opened in 2002. And you laughed at me when I said that, if you remember. And as it turns out, I was right. As I often am, by the way. But anyway, the stock market. But I predicted in 2003 that it would close higher than it opened. But as of right now, that prediction is not looking too good.
Well, Jim, I don't get too much into those short-term predictions. You know, nobody ever listens when you make them anyway. Nobody remembers when you're right.
But they remember when you're wrong, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, what's wrong with the stock market today? It closed below 8,000 the other day for the first time in a while.
It's still too expensive, Jim.
You're still saying that, huh?
Absolutely. We don't know, like, based on P.E. ratios, where the market is today, because we don't know what the earnings are. Estimates are that the S&P 500, probably the most conservative estimates I've seen are somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 times earnings, which is expensive, very expensive, all the way to Jim Grant, who questions the quality of earnings, and he says we're really at 50 times earnings. So nobody really knows. But the point is, regardless of what number you put on them there, stocks are expensive. And you know, we may be entering a time like Japan was when we're going to produce an awful lot of goods and services, Jim, but people aren't going to make a whole lot of money for producing them.
Like farmers.
Yeah, overcapacity. You know, Karl Marx predicted that capitalism would destroy itself simply because it is so productive. In other words, capitalists try to make money on capital, and he says you'll be so productive, you'll be making so much stuff that you won't make any
Well,
money.
one of the things is that where that's manifesting itself right now is in jobs,
a lack
of jobs.
Yeah.
Because we're able to produce a lot of stuff. That's what the jobless recovery is creating, isn't it?
That's exactly right. We're producing tons of stuff. Christmas is a good example. I never saw so many sales before Christmas. And stores were overflowing with stuff.
They were deep discounting in November.
Exactly. And the numbers, if you look at the numbers, it looks like the stores had slow sales, slow economy. That's not what happened, Jim. What really happened was that it just visualized most of the stuff I purchased was at least a 20% discount, maybe a 30. Well, it looks like the store is selling less. In reality, I left the store with more. We've got more goods and services. It's just the numbers didn't reflect in the numbers.
Revenues, it looks like revenues may not be that bad, but profits won't be all that great.
Bingo. That's the problem, is we just don't have pricing power.
We don't have pricing power. That's the big deal, isn't it, right now?
That's
pricing power.
That's the big deal. Nobody.
And it's partially because of good deflation.
Because we're so
not just bad deflation, but good deflation, where our productivity has created more production.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And now the other problem coming on, of course, is China. Not that it's a problem, but they're growing. And
China's an economic tsunami that is going to wash over the world over the next 10 years, isn't it?
Sir John believes that China will be the world's largest economy in 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And now per person, their GDP will still be a fifth of what ours is. We shouldn't fear that. But it is going to create demand for natural resources. I think that's part of what's causing the rise in oil. You cannot imagine what, if even the standard of living doubled in China, what it will do to the demand for oil and natural resources.
Right.
And so that's going to be inflationary. So what I'm saying is that, you know, about the time people, remember back in the 80s when everybody learned to play the inflation game? Well, they should have then, instead of playing the inflation game, they should have gone to the deflation game, okay, or disinflation game. Now everybody has learned the disinflation game, and they're buying bonds at 5% and all that kind of stuff, which they thought they'd never do. In reality, now we may be, the cycle may be turning, and they should shift back to the inflation mentality again in their investments, their businesses, and so on.
Gary, that's going to have to be the last word. You've just enlightened us so much today with your thoughts. Thank you for those and for your time.
Good being with you, Jim.
It's good to talk to you, sir. Gary Moore, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Spiritual Investments. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.